into the mirror and see what the truth is, and see what the truth is, and see what the truth is.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised.
It will be podcast.
This is the No Illusions podcast for June 30th, 2011. My name's Cameron Riley. With me in the makeshift cigar studio, Kieran Salzoni. See, that's why we had to re-record this, so I could get your surname right.
Oh, you shouldn't have admitted to it.
Kieran is WebSynth on Twitter, very active on Facebook, very interesting guy, knows a lot about politics and religion, and we were going to do a show about those. Those being some of my favourite subjects. But then yesterday, something big happened in Kieran's life, and I thought we should at least start with that. Why don't you tell us for the second time? Yep. We just recorded about 5 minutes, and then I found out my microphone was giving me static. What happened yesterday, Kieran, in your life?
I came out publicly as polyamorous, as did my fiancé and my girlfriend. We all came out as polyamorous publicly at the same time online, and everything went better than expected.
What does polyamorous mean?
It's ethical non-monogamy. So break the word down, it means many loves. It means that you can be or enjoy being in more than one relationship at the same time. And you do it with consent, communication, and everyone's all fully informed about it.
And how does it differ from an open relationship?
It's more than just about sex. There are people out there, there are people in open relationships for whom it's not just about sex, but that tends to be the norm, that an open relationship means that you're in a fairly well monogamous relationship, and then you can have sex outside of that. But for polyamory, it is about having full-flavored, full-bodied relationships at the same time.
Love as well as sex.
Exactly. Love, responsibility, commitment, everything.
And we've just changed microphones if it sounds different, folks, because my microphone was playing up again. So why yesterday, Kieran? What was it about yesterday that encouraged you guys that it was a good time to come out?
It was a good time for us because Naomi had just kind of met and started dating her second partner. And it was getting frustrating not being able to tell people, you know, the happy feelings, the joy that she was having being in this new relationship. Because the guy's a fantastic bloke. I really get along with him. And it's understandable that Naomi would want to bounce off the walls, run around, you know, screaming about how awesome this new relationship is. And she didn't feel like she could do that because it would cause people to, you know, raise their eyebrows and could cause some significant problems. So we all decided it was probably a good time for us to just put it on the public record that we are all in a polyamorous, or we are all polyamorous. And so now Naomi and Rachel and I can all actually talk openly on Facebook or in public about the fact that we are in relationships. Which we couldn't previously do.
And how's it gone down with friends, family, colleagues, etc.?
Friends and colleagues, so far, the feedback's been very positive, especially on Facebook yesterday. It was all very supportive. We may have cheated a little just in terms of some people already knew about it and were waiting for the announcement, but there wasn't any negative feedback online yesterday. The first negative feedback we got was when I was speaking to my mother last night, and she definitely doesn't approve.
Did she know beforehand?
She did know beforehand, and she's not happy that it's public now. I think she has this unreasonable expectation that I have a worthwhile kind of reputation that needs protecting. So I think she thought that I'd diminish that somewhat, but she also has religious reasons for not liking it as well.
God says thou shalt. Actually, in the Bible, people were fucking people left, right, and center. I mean, it's all good as far as the Bible goes, right?
Well, yeah, I've never seen that stop Christians from disagreeing with it, though. I think they disagree. If their pastor says it's so, in a lot of cases, it tends to be that the Bible is forgotten. You know, there's no dashing of babies on rocks in modern evangelical Christianity, which, you know, if they were going to strictly adhere to the Bible, maybe they'd be, well, maybe it wouldn't just be in the Middle East and Africa, but, you know.
So apart from your mother, the general response on your Facebook page seemed to be fairly encouraging.
Yeah, the older crew, people over who lived through the 70s, really had no problems understanding what was going on. Our younger friends, some of them, didn't understand what we were talking about. And when we explained, no, okay, I'm marrying Naomi. I'm also in love with and dating Rachel. And Naomi is dating this other guy. And Rachel has her own long-term boyfriend. Even when we explained that, people were asking questions like, what, so do you all have sex together? Or, you know, what about the jealousy? Or don't you all hate each other? And the answer to all of those questions is invariably, well, no, that doesn't happen. For example, Naomi does not have a sexual relationship with Rachel. I don't have a sexual relationship with Rachel's partner. Naomi and Rachel have actually become best friends out of this, which was amazing for me because Naomi hadn't traditionally had a best friend that she spent a lot of time with. She, you know, was very much comfortable with her own company, but now it's amazing to watch. I wish that I got along as well with either Rachel or Naomi as well as they get along with each other. It's amazing to watch.
So in this, in a polyamorous situation, when you meet somebody for the first time, so when you met Rachel,
yeah,
how does that go down? Like, at what point do you tell this person that you're dating that you're actually engaged to marry somebody else?
Well, in my case with Rachel, she actually met me because I was polyamorous. I had a profile up on OkCupid, and the first line was, my name is Kieran, I'm polyamorous. I am looking for other partners, but I love my fiance Naomi more than life itself. And she thought that was incredibly sweet and just wanted to get in touch with me because she, you know, she and her partner, both polyamorous, they were just glad there was someone else out there who were in a very similar situation to them. And we started talking online, found out that we actually work in the same building. And this was a couple of days before the floods hit in January. So we'd organized to go to lunch on the Wednesday. And unfortunately, her apartment was flooded that day. So we got to meet for about 5 minutes. But first time we saw each other, it was, yes, that's it. Sorry, can't be platonic. I've got to be with her. But
in the biblical sense.
In the biblical sense, that's right. You know, good old biblical sense without all the violence. But in general, you can just come out and say, I'm polyamorous. That puts a lot of people off because most people are looking for someone who will, it'll just be a monogamous traditional relationship.
The OkCupid site that you mentioned, is that just a regular dating site? Or is
Yeah, it's a regular dating site.
Right. Are there like polyamoratic dating sites?
There are a lot of online communities for polyamorous people. Tends to be the only way to get a decently sized community going for discussion because it is such a small community globally that you do need to have that online connection. Otherwise, you wouldn't have enough people.
Yeah, one of I find it fascinating because it's seemed to me, I mean, I've been married twice before. I'm going into my third. And, you know, it seems to me, just looking at the statistics of marriage in the West, Western countries, it doesn't work anymore, really. I mean, obviously for some people it does, and some people are married for, you know, decades, and that's wonderful. But divorce rates are very high, 50, 60%, I think, of first marriages end in divorce in countries like Australia, the US, UK. And then I think it's even higher for subsequent marriages.
Okay.
So obviously this lifelong monogamy marriage thing doesn't, and that's not even counting the people in those relationships that have affairs and cheat, which obviously happens all the time. I heard a stat on the This American Life podcast recently, I think, that was saying it's like 80% of successful marriages have affairs in them, either that get found out about or not.
Mm.
So the whole model of it doesn't really seem to work. And if people are signing up for lifelong, not just monogamy, but not having any extracurricular sex or relationships, it seems to me that we're signing up for things that are, at the very least, very, very difficult to follow through on, and subsequently they fail. We set ourselves up for disappointment, I guess, is where I'm coming from. And it seems to me that we need a modern 21st century model of how relationships work, where you go into relationships saying, look, there's a very high degree of possibility that at one stage or another, one or the other of us or both of us is going to meet someone else, feel attracted to them, either sexually or deeper than that. And when that happens, we need to have a mechanism, a framework for dealing with it like rational adults.
Adults, exactly, yeah. I thoroughly agree. One of the biggest problems with Naomi and I when we were in this monogamous relationship, which it was for the first 3 years, was that we had very different levels of libido. And I, anecdotally at least, that's almost across the board, that there is a difference in sexual appetite between the two partners. It's not always the male that's got the higher sex drive, but if sleeping with someone else is the only reason a marriage fails, if an otherwise happy, caring, supportive marriage has this indiscretion in it, if that's the only reason it fails, that's an utter shame. That's really disappointing, especially if there's children involved. I think that it's not so much that everyone should be poly or anything like that, which I know you weren't saying, but I think there needs to be a greater appreciation that having multiple relationships doesn't have to kill a loving family environment.
Yeah. Oh, just hit my keys. Yeah, it seems to me that by attaching ourselves to a model that is consistently, it's never worked. It's not like this is a new thing. I mean, it's never worked. Even when people stay together, like my grandparents on my mother's side were married until the day they died. Well, one of them died. But I know that he had affairs, at least one that we know of. I don't know about her so much. But it's not like, well, back in the good old days it worked. Yeah. People might have stayed together for religious reasons or for economic reasons or, what would people say about us reasons.
Social pressure.
Exactly. But the model of monogamy has never been a very successful model for adult relationships ever, as far as I can tell.
No, I agree. And
yeah, we still cling to it. And that's still the thing that everyone signs up to. It's like, yep, this is what we're going to do. Oh, shit, failed. All right, now we're going to do it again. I'm going to try it the next time, Why do you think that is? Why are we so attached to this idea of monogamy? Is it something to do with, Christian heritage? Is it certainly not that way? When you read books about tribal communities, it certainly didn't seem to be the norm in tribal communities. Wasn't the norm throughout places like China for most of its history, wasn't the norm in ancient Greece or ancient Rome, but it seems to be a post-Christian thing, do you think?
I think there's two sides of it. Firstly, there is the religious side, but secondly, also there's a bit of insecurity that goes with it as well. We've been told that our worth is linked inextricably to the faithfulness of our partner. If they are seeking something somewhere else, then we are failing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's entirely wrong. It's a useless thing. And however that came up, whether it was a fear tactic to promote a Christian-centric view of marriage, which was originally based in property ownership, it's something that this is where the two reasons link, is that religion or marriage isn't, unless you take the Bible literally, marriage started as a way of gifting between tribes where it would be a political thing about property ownership.
Mm-hmm.
There was never this courtship, love, marriage, happy monogamy with children running around. That wasn't what happened. It was literally one tribal leader would sell his daughter to another tribal leader, would sell sexual access to the other trouble.
And not just the daughter, the daughter and some dowry as well.
Oh, yeah,
dowry. I'll give you my daughter. Take my daughter and I'll give you 20 cows.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It was a political gift.
Yeah.
So that's what really annoys me when I hear people talking about how, you know, the Bible defines marriage as, well, no, the concept of marriage predates the Christian era by quite a long time. Even predates the kind of Judaic tradition by quite a while. And it was, there were no positive aspects of marriage. Well, at least no...
It wasn't a romantic
thing. No, certainly not.
I mean, that's sort of a post-romantic era inflection on it. Have you ever read the Communist Manifesto?
I've read parts of it, yeah.
I know that, I remember when I read that years ago, Marx and Engels in that didn't believe in marriage for that exact reason. It was based on the concept of private property and the woman as being private property. And so in a true communist society, if you're a true, if you're a true Marxist, I guess, you wouldn't have marriage in a society.
Yeah.
Although most communist countries have continued with it.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about how many partners you think you could have in a polyamorous relationship. Is there a limit? Could you see yourself having 4 or 5 women that you're in a relationship with?
I think the trickiest bit about polyamory isn't how much love you have to give or how interested you can be in multiple people. It's time. It is time. I've never needed a calendar or a diary in my life, but when things got serious with both Rachel and Naomi set me up a calendar because I needed to manage my time a lot better than I was. And if you're looking for a baptism by fire and the art of timekeeping and you know, scheduling, be polyamorous because that's the only thing that holds you back.
Have you ever seen Big Love?
No, I haven't watched it because I know the difference between kind of the polyamory model that we use and the kind of Mormon religious polygamy model.
The reason I've only seen an episode or two, but my fiancée Chrissy's big into it because she's a former Mormon. She grew up in Utah around all of that kind of stuff, and apparently one of the themes in the show is that the main character Bill Pullman, I think he's the main guy, is just run ragged by all these wives all the time, and they're always bitching and moaning about whose night it is and who he's supposed to be with and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, I can imagine that happening if because that's polygyny. That's where it's one man, many women. And then you've got the opposite of that, which is polyandry, one woman, many men. But in the polyamorous sense, it's many men, many women. And the scheduling's a little easier. Mm. At least it doesn't all hinge on one person.
Mm.
So, but I can imagine that would be horrifying for him.
So... let me ask you a little bit about how you deal with feelings of jealousy. I know you said before that there's no jealousy involved.
Mm.
Is that something that you found came naturally to the three of you, that the no jealousy, or is it something that you have to have a framework for dealing with jealous impulses when they arise?
We were lucky in that the three of us, or at least Naomi and I, Rachel and Chris had dealt with this a long, long time ago, but... Naomi and I were never naturally jealous people. We didn't have a strong jealousy impulse. My self-worth was never kind of linked in with Naomi's faithfulness and vice versa. It's the same. I'd like to say, you do still get jealous pangs occasionally, but we've been lucky in that we haven't felt that very much. The main reason for that is that we established very strong ground rules right at the beginning.
What are they?
For example, lots of these rules have fallen by the wayside. Originally, it was no sex in the marital bed, for want of a better term. But the main one was that Naomi is my primary partner, and if it's ever a choice between running to Rachel's side for something she needs and running to Naomi's side for something she needs, I'd pick Naomi. That was the original rule. Everyone knew that. And everyone was happy to stick by it because those rules, communicating those guidelines and rules between polyamorous people is a hugely important thing. It's the one thing that when you do start to meet other polyamorous people or read up about it, communication, guidelines, knowing where everyone is at is one of the largest considerations. But I think it's because of those rules we haven't put ourselves in a position to be jealous of one another. So, and the relationships are completely different as well.
So for you, the thought of Naomi with another man, you're like, good for her, hope she's having a good time.
Yeah, I've really kind of encouraged Naomi in her relationship with this new guy, who I'm not going to name because he hasn't come out yet. Fine. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot before as well. I mean, the concept of somebody I'm in love with having sex, let's say, with someone else. Mm. Let's leave the love out of it because I think it's this.
They are two very different things.
And people react to them in different ways. But you think, okay, well, what am I losing by somebody I love and care about having fun, enjoyment, pleasure with somebody else? I mean, it's not taking away from me, really.
Mm.
It's not, you know, hurting me, really, in any sense that I can think of. The only thing I've been able to tie back to is, one, if they're with that person, they're not with me. So you could feel, you know, like you're missing out or loneliness or something like that. Or secondly, and I think this is the most important one, is this: it's this fear that they will leave me and I will be alone.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a big driver for a lot of people, this fear of loneliness, or this, you mentioned before, this sense of I've failed or I'm not good enough, all of these quite selfish and petty emotions?
But understandable emotions as well. I think it's one of the largest drivers of monogamy and one of the largest drivers of that fear that if my partner goes and has sex with someone else, and I'll put it in the words of a friend of mine who, in a rare moment of candor, said to me, yeah, but what if she finds out I'm shite in bed? You know, that's not the only consideration, I know, but I think that's one that does play on a lot of people's minds. And again, it's misconstruing this whole, it's jamming together love and sex where in a way that they shouldn't be jammed together. You know, if your partner still loves you, they're going to come back to you regardless of how well that person performed in bed. And even then, it is slightly petty. But I can see a couple of reasons why. For example, you said, you know, oh, they're not with me. You know, that, yeah, if you really enjoy spending time with your partner, then that could be, you know, oh, she's not spending time with me. Bugger, I'm bored. For people with, it's so many people these days, though, have such a busy schedule, there will be points where, you know, one partner is at work until 8 o'clock at night. It's not going to kill anyone if the other partner goes and has dinner.
What if she's just gone out for a night with the girls and you're home by yourself? I mean, it's the same thing, right? She gets home at 2 o'clock in the morning, whether she's out having drinks with her friends or she's out screwing somebody else. I mean, really, the only difference is in our heads.
I think so. And I think that I can equate those two as being more or less equivalent just through experience. But I think that that is one of the largest hurdles people have to get over, is this equating someone spending time out with their friends, having drinks, or being at work late at night, and thinking there's a difference in that they're not spending time with you because they're with someone else.
Mm.
You know, asking questions, why are they spending time with the other person and not me? Well, sorry, over a 4, 10, 20, 40-year relationship, you know, you're not that interesting. No one is that interesting and that consistently enjoyable that someone's going to want to spend every spare moment with you.
And in fact, you know, it's probably a good thing that they have a break from you and get away from you from time to time.
Yeah.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
I would agree. I mean, Naomi is spending a lot of time with her new partner at the moment because we're trying to give it every opportunity to succeed. And, you know, we'll see her for maybe half an hour to an hour in 2 days. It doesn't make me bitter or lonely. It makes me want to see her again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that it's an amazing feeling. Hey, it's Naomi. You know. So,
do you think polyamory increases the chance of long-term relationship survival?
Yes, 100%. My relationship with Naomi and Naomi's relationship with me has only been strengthened by polyamory. Because she knows, and I know, that we'll never leave each other because of sex. You know? I do think that it strengthens that because the build-up of tedium doesn't occur as well. There is a bit more variety. You end up with more interesting social situations as well. I know that there are kind of two approaches to it. You get the don't ask, don't tell, where they are in a polyamorous relationship, but one partner doesn't want to know about the other partners. And I think that's a bit disappointing because Naomi and Rachel, as soon as they met, became great friends. You know, because I'm obviously going to be attracted to more or less similar people. Mm-hmm. So exposing them to each other, that's great. I think there's a bit of a fear sometimes that they'll compare notes.
And, yeah. What about when he does that thing? Oh, yeah, I hate it when he does that thing.
I'm just a bit sadistic in that I find that hilarious.
You have to think that if you look at the reasons why most relationships fail, there's going to be a range of things. People just aren't compatible over a period of time. They grow in different directions. But obviously whether it's a root cause or it's a symptom of another root cause is another issue. But it's people get, you know, ending up attracted to someone else, having sex with someone else. Probably, 50%, I'd say, of relationships that fail have to have something to do with somebody's cheated on it or somebody's fallen in love with somebody else and all those sorts of things. And if in a polyamorous situation you remove that risk of the relationship breaking down because of one of those things, it stands to reason that it actually strengthens the possibility of the survival of that relationship.
No, couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, you remove the... I mean, the main reason marriages break up...
Smoke that cigar, man.
It's already out. But is finances.
We'll just take a break here while Kieran relights his Podomo cigar.
Fantastic cigars. I don't often drink. Don't often smoke cigars.
But if we had advertisers, they'd say we'll break for an ad. But seeing as Podomo is the advertiser, I'll say Podomo cigars. And we're not allowed to advertise, so I can't even say that.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I kind of let that die.
No, that's okay. Good. People can take a break now, and they can sort of, you know, check Twitter while they're listening. Okay. We were talking about the survival of relationships because that risk is removed. You know, do you think that society is becoming a lot more open to these ideas? I mean, the 70s aside, there probably aren't too many times in the last 100 years where you could come out like you guys did yesterday and say to friends and family and colleague, you know, we're in this sort of a situation without being either executed or at least social pariahs. Mm. And then on top of that, we've got... You know, gay marriage is being legalized in 7 states now in the US. It looks like the Labor Party, at least in Queensland and New South Wales,
and
are getting
Western
ready.
Australia now as well.
Push it. That's right. Then we've got, what else have I seen? Oh, sites like AshleyMadison.com.
Yeah.
Which is huge. They reckon it's the second fastest growing social network outside of Facebook, and it's all about,
cheating.
Yeah.
which I can't actually, I can't say that's a good thing in that cheating is dishonesty.
Yep.
I would much rather those couples or those people have a conversation and decide to have a shot at open relationships.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can see that, you know, maybe there's going to be a whole lot of steam vented because of Ashley Madison. So on a practical level, I can't hate it too much.
Yeah, I think the idea is rather than going and cheating with someone who's not happy about the fact that you're cheating and it gets complicated. Yeah. You both know that you're cheating on your primary relationship and it gets rid of one level of risk or something.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But the point being that a lot of these things seem to be becoming, if not mainstream, then they're out there, they're well accepted, people know about it, people are talking about it. You know, do you think things are changing?
I do. I think that it's because things changed for the more complex. The way lives are structured now are far more fluid, far more complex. Traditional kind of institutions, things like marriage, you know, the nuclear family having dinner every evening at the same time, although those kinds of things aren't actually serving social purposes anymore. So people are realizing that a lot of the reasons for the traditional way things have happened don't make sense anymore. And clinging to those old traditions is actually making it harder to live a productive life now, a life that fulfills people. So a lot of these things are becoming more accepted because we're realizing that, you know what? There's nothing holding us back from that anymore. We don't have to outpopulate the next tribe. So it's okay if two men or two women are together because, you know what? We're overpopulated anyway. You know, running out of babies isn't an issue anymore.
It's not a big issue, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the practical issues. And also, you know, it's not so much of a problem now where, you know, you would have the father goes to work, the mother stays at home, looks after the kids, because no, actually mum and dad both need to work now.
Yeah.
So that nuclear tradition is failing as well.
We still don't have wage equality for women, but no. At least they're earning incomes now, whereas a generation or two ago they tended not to. Let me ask you about the long-term success of polyamorous relationships. I remember working with a relationship therapist years ago in Melbourne, and him telling me at the time that he worked with lots of couples that were in open relationships and that his experience had been long-term, it didn't work.
Mm.
Have you investigated any research into the long-term success of polyamorous relationships?
I've done a little bit of research into it. A couple of things strike me. First of all, that there aren't that many polyamorous relationships that have had a chance to have any longevity purely because it had its revival in the 70s, but then it only really came back to the fore in the last 10 years because of some certain books that came out. Also this, you know, expansion of what is practically acceptable in society. So it's yet to be seen. You couldn't have done any longitudinal study on polyamory.
Ooh, that's a big word. Longitudinal, I'm going to have to look that up.
You couldn't have done any long-term study on it to find out if there was any increase in longevity. But I'd say there's a massive difference in the chances of an open relationship versus polyamorous.
Mm-hmm.
Polyamorous is more of a kind of identification. Not quite on the same level as homosexuality or bisexuality, but very similar. In that, even if you've only got one partner, or if you're single, you can still be polyamorous. An open relationship refers to a type of relationship. So, as I said, it remains to be seen. But you have a look at the community, and there's a whole lot of young people. But there are a whole lot of older people as well who became polyamorous in the 70s or the 60s.
70s?
Yeah, and kept 60s, going. One of the two. Yeah.
The swinging years.
Yeah. And they've kept going, and it's worked.
I noticed in your Facebook profile yesterday you said you were bisexual/pansexual. I've never heard pansexual. Is that having sex with goats?
No. Okay. Only with entities that can consent. So, I mean, pansexual...
Goats can, like, nod and stamp their hoof and stuff.
Quite vigorously sometimes.
That's how they do it in New Zealand. Seriously. That's how they do it with sheep in New Zealand.
Yeah.
If stamp once for yes, two for no.
That's right. Sorry, Kiwis.
I would apologise to the Kiwis, but I don't think there's anyone living there anymore. I think they moved here. So.
Yeah, well, who was it? Last one out, turn off the lights.
That's right.
It's,
put the sheep back in the pen.
But,
what's pansexual mean?
Pansexual, it means that a person's sex doesn't come into the calculation of attraction. So bisexuality kind of intones that you either go for males or females. But then there are a lot of things like transgender, transsexual... hermaphrodites, things like that, which I would have absolutely no problems with sleeping with if I found them attractive and got along with them.
So it's bisexual plus.
Exactly.
It's like Google Plus.
Yes, like Google Plus. It's a shameless plug. And also, for example, if sentient aliens came down to Earth, I'd be the first one whipping out the Trojans, hooking in with the bad intergalactic pickup lines.
Anally rape me, Mr. Alien. I'm all yours.
Yeah, I'm jealous of all these rednecks over in the States. Not only do they not have to think about things, but they get the alien love. I know I'm being glib about it, but that's essentially the implication, is that if it's sentient and old enough to sign a contract, then sex shouldn't come into the calculation.
So let's talk about the downsides. What do you see as being the downsides of polyamory?
First one that comes to mind is that I have so little free time. For just me time, but that kind of hasn't really occurred to me until recently, and it's not that big a problem. Time management's the biggest thing. Secrecy as well, and offending people with your lifestyle choice.
That reminds me of something I want to ask you before. You only came out publicly yesterday. Why didn't you do it earlier?
Mainly because Naomi was very worried about the reaction that we'd get at work. I think she was very worried that people would think poorly of her, purely because, as my mother kind of labels her an indiscriminate slut, there is that idea out there that if you're in any way open or poly, you'll sleep with anyone, legs open to anyone, and that's complete crap. I'm sorry, but if you are listening to this and you do draw a mental link between polyamory and promiscuity, you are very wrong about that. I've met polyamorous people who are extremely choosy about who they sleep with and wait longer than monogamous people. So it's...
We just had slut walk all around the world. Yeah, are we going to have polyamory walk?
Probably not. Probably not. I think there's... Whenever... poly people tend not to talk at the moment, at least not in Brisbane, about poly rights and things like that, because we're kind of hoping that we can not muddy the waters of the same-sex marriage issue.
Right.
At least that's how I feel about it. I don't think necessarily we would. It would be lovely if we could get it all just done in one hit, you know, all kinds of consenting relationships validated by law. That would be wonderful.
Including polygamy?
Well, marrying multiple, yes, definitely.
Polyandry, polygamy, polygyny.
I think polygyny and polyandry, unless they're a part of a religious construct, tends to be very hard to actually construct. Because in polyamory, you know, say there's me and then two women, you know, that would be polygyny. But there's nothing stopping either of those women from dating another man,
mm-hmm.
which would then stop it from being polygyny. It's now polyamory again.
It's polygamy.
Well, if they're married, yes. Yeah.
So if polygamy was legal in Australia, could you see yourself marrying multiple women?
I could, yes.
You wouldn't have an issue? There's no additional complication from moving from polyamory to polygamy?
Yeah, I don't see it for me as being a problem, but it's, again, every individual is different.
And everyone should have their choice. I mean,
exactly.
it's not like it's hurting the rest of us. Who gives a shit what people do? I mean, I don't get it. Let me ask you about, talking and getting back to the downsides, what about if you're married to one partner, you have children with that partner, does it get complicated then explaining to the children that, okay, this is your mummy or your daddy, but I'm also in a long-term relationship with these people, or is it just something the kids will deal with?
Kids will deal with it. The one thing I've learned about, yeah, especially with my younger brother, who's 2.5 now, mum's had another son, and when I used to teach kids way back in
the day. This is the same mother that's calling your partner an indiscriminate slut.
She's Catholic, so don't expect consistency.
Or logic.
Kids have incredibly elastic brains. You know, they will. It would only be the situation wouldn't be confusing for them. It would be, oh, there's mummy, there's daddy, and however you want to name. No, there's Auntie Rachel and Uncle Chris. You know, it would, if anything, be better for the child. Because there are more loving, caring, protecting, nurturing adults around who are looking after them, providing for them.
Again, which is how it used to be in tribal societies,
exactly,
from what I've
read. Yeah. For, great book is Sex at Dawn. It's a book that I thoroughly recommend to anyone who's even remotely interested in this or violently hates this idea. Read it. It gives a very decent anthropological history of relationships, marriage, and this idea that monogamy is natural is complete tripe. It is blown out of the water by it.
Again, one of the things that I read, and I think it was in Marx's stuff, and I don't know how correct this was anthropologically, but they made the suggestion, again, getting back to private property, that monogamy and marriage anyway started because lots of men were sleeping with the same women in the tribe. Kids were being born and nobody really knew whose kid was who. Didn't have DNA testing. And then when men started to bring back booty from other tribes that they had conquered and they were dying, you know, the idea of assets being passed on to
their genetic legacy,
their children, yep. And if you didn't know who your kids were, didn't know who you could pass your castle on to, so it was, all right, well, she's only allowed to have sex with me, so I know her offspring are mine. Of course, the men could still go around and fuck whoever they wanted traditionally, but... Is that what it says in Sex at Dawn?
Yeah, pretty much. It was essentially, monogamy was a construct that just came about because, yeah, distributing property. And I think that's a particularly horrible basis for something that's had such a profound influence on the structure of society and the happiness of people for countless generations.
Mm.
It just upsets me to think of the amount of hurt that's been caused throughout time because people who otherwise wouldn't have wanted to be stuck with one person or treated as property. Because keep in mind, wives were property for a very long time. So that does upset me a little.
Yeah, you think about how many people you know, and I know a bunch in my own inner circle where there's been a marriage breakup and one or the other partner's just bitter for years, sometimes for decades, just bitter and angry and messed up because of it. And they don't trust and they say all men are pigs or all women are bitches. And it's just, it's just destructive. It doesn't need to be that way. And that's not saying, I think the idea of if you marry someone and you stay together for the rest of your life and you're monogamous and it works and you're all happy and everything's great, that's wonderful. Not saying that shouldn't happen, that it's a bad thing if it does happen. Just seems to be it doesn't happen as often as people expect it to happen.
Yeah. And, being around a lot of people in their early 20s who are just coming into adult relationships now, I just wondered how much affection and caring and companionship is not being shared between these people because they think that when you do that, you're committing to something that is exclusive and for all time. You can only give compassion and affection and companionship to someone who you're willing to spend the rest of your life with and only them. Mm. If there wasn't that stricture, that kind of narrow future ahead of any interchange of relationship, people would probably be more willing to be nice to each other and to show caring for each other.
And you think, with kids that have grown up in relationships or parental situations where the marriage ended, like my kids, for example, it's reasonable to believe that they're going to grow up thinking, well, marriage doesn't work. Look what might happen to my parents or my brother or my sister or my friends. And they grow up with a negative view of the idea of marriage. Whereas if we had a different model, different framework where they could say, well, this works.
Yeah,
maybe kids grow up with more mature ideas of what adult relationships actually look like.
No, I agree.
Well, we were going to talk about other stuff, but we've done about 45 minutes. I think we're pretty much done. I think you should come back next week and do another one.
Yeah, no, my pleasure.
We can talk about the Pope. And
his new Twitter account.
Yeah.
We can go through his Twitter account.
Here's one thing. When that story broke yesterday, I retweeted the story and added the tagline, his first tweet was, little boys taste good. Now, if I had tweeted that 3 or 4 years ago, I would have got a plethora of hate responses back. And I was kind of waiting for them. Nothing. I got nothing. Either people don't follow me on Twitter anymore or they're just used to me, saying shit about Christians. Or, I don't know, people just don't arc up on Twitter like they used to. Have you found...
I think people arc up on Twitter quite a bit, but I think that it's just that we do tend to desensitize people to our antics, mate. I know that I will say... I'm only getting better at saying really incisive things about religious people, especially evangelical Christians these days. But I found that the reactions I was getting were becoming less and less severe to the point where there was almost nothing. until, for want of a better phrase, I broke into the American market and Americans started reading me. And that's when you get the hate mail and the fan mail. You know, Australians tend to be fairly apathetic about almost anything, really. But Americans, they're so hell-bent on absolutely everything that you'll get, yeah, just try tweet to more Americans.
I get a lot of American followers, but I think all of them, the people that still follow me anyway, probably just know, yeah, it's just Cameron.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in and being open and sharing, mate. And look, seriously, congratulations. I think it's a brave, bold thing to do, and not just talking about it, but the polyamory. And you know, I'm really encouraged to see that people can come out, talk about this kind of stuff, and that people are exploring publicly alternative models to adult relationships, because we just need to grow the fuck up.
Agreed.
You know, I think, you know, that this whole model of monogamy that we have is just inherently flawed and is fucking us up. And we need to get over it. We need to grow up.
More flexibility. I mean, some people do just want a monogamous relationship. That's fine. If that works for them, that's fine. But, you know, at least have the option open.
And at least go into that knowing, okay, well, this is the ideal that we're aiming for, but statistically,
this is what I'm probably going to get.
It's probably not going to work out the way that it's not going to be Hollywood. So when if these things occur, somebody meets someone else, et cetera, how are we going to deal about it? Like I've said to Chrissy, you know, just know up front, if you ever meet someone, you get attracted, whatever, come to me, talk about it.
Mm.
The sky's not going to fall in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go nuts. It's fine. I would much rather you come and tell me about it. We talk about what we're going to do, how we're going to handle the situation. I mean, we're not polyamorous, but we are grown up enough to know that this shit happens.
Communication.
Exactly. And to be able to communicate. You know, I've been in other relationships where I know if I tried to have that communication, fucking sky would and did fall in. And it's just, you know, people just need to be more mature about it, I think.
Yep.
Well, love to get any feedback that you boys and girls have on that. You can find Kieran on Twitter, WebSynth. What the fuck's WebSynth mean?
Oh, it was a play on absinthe.
Absinthe.
I was drunk on absinthe for about 2 weeks straight. My friends and I thought, let's start an online media company. We named it WebSynth, and the name stuck as a handle.
I forgot you. You're a very talented cartoonist. You used to do web cartoons too. That were great.
I miss those.
Yeah, they were great, man. They were insightful. You should do that. If I had that talent, I'd be all over it. And on Facebook, if people want to chat to you on Facebook, spell your name, your weird Calabresian name.
Yeah, okay. It's Kieran, KIERAN, Salsone, SALSONE. And when you send the friend request, just put the name of Cameron's podcast in the request comment, and I will add you.
Awesome. And any other blog, Twitter, Google Plus thing you want to promote?
Not as yet.
All right. Well, that's the show for today. We'll get Kieran back because I really do want to talk politics and religion with him, and we'll get off of this. But it had to be done today. And follow me on Google Plus, bitches. I'm on Google Plus. Just look for me, find me, add me. I think Facebook is the devil. And I want to see this work. Finally, Google needs to have a social thing that actually works.
And if you have any Google Plus invites left, send them to websynth@gmail.com because I'm currently looking for one.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get 50. All right, this is Cameron out.
But if we're honest, we will look into the mirror and see what the truth is.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised.
Podcast.